directions. Kenneth Sean Kelly will be in his 80s at the end of his prison sentence for his role in the 2006 murders of a Champaign couple. Today, a Champaign County judge sentenced the 35-year-old Kelly to 50 years less time served for the murder of Jerry Haig. Under a plea agreement, charges in the murder of Sue Haig were dropped. During the sentencing hearing, defense attorney Randy Rosenbaum called the Haig murders a robbery gone bad and depicted Kelly as a weak-willed follower who was led into the crime by his then-girlfriend, Crystal Myrick. But Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz says that argument is irrelevant.
But the bottom line is the only people who really know what happened in that house are those three individuals. And the bottom line is that what they did was they beat and stabbed to death two innocent people. And so who did which part of it really doesn't matter.
The three people Reitz refers to are Kelly, Myrick, and Russell Pitcher. Myrick is scheduled to go on trial for her role in the Haig murders next month. Reitz says they're preparing to file charges against Pitcher, who's currently in custody in Iowa. The sentencing hearing today was interrupted by an outburst from the Haig's daughter and son-in-law. Kim Shackelford used her victim impact statement to shout at Kelly. Corey Shackelford then jumped on Kelly and had to be pulled off by court officers. He faces possible aggravated battery charges. Supporters who want to keep Illinois state parks open are taking their fight online. Sean Crawford has more.
When 11-year-old Rice Tuggle of Oakwood learned the nearby Kickapoo State Park in Vermilion County was going to be a victim of the governor's budget cuts, she says she had to take action. After her school suggested she write a letter to Rod Blagojevich, she decided to go a step further, starting a petition drive. She began by gathering signatures at a convenience store for 6 hours.
And I sat at Kickapoo for at least 3, and I passed it around my school. And some second graders wondered, their teacher was teaching them about it, so they all signed it.
She's collected hundreds of signatures since. She's not alone. Others across Illinois are mobilizing to raise their voices in an attempt to prevent 11 parks from closing at the end of November. They're also joining forces with the lieutenant governor, who's placed an online petition on his website. Park supporters say the locations are invaluable to local communities and raise concerns about Illinois' commitment to conservation if they're allowed to close. I'm Sean Crawford.
Presidential candidate Barack Obama is urging the state Senate to act quickly on disputed ethics legislation. Obama called Senate President Emil Jones this morning and said the measure should be passed at the earliest possible opportunity. Obama and Jones have a long relationship. The legislation would restrict campaign donations by people doing business with the state. It passed in the spring, but Governor Blagojevich rejected it and called for major changes. The House has overridden that veto, but Jones says the Senate won't act on it until November. A computer science professor at the U of I has developed what he says is a more accurate way of predicting the presidential race than relying on national polls. A new computer model incorporates state polling data to determine estimates for each candidate's chances for winning in each state, and it uses a mathematical formula to determine the distribution of electoral college votes. Sheldon Jacobson's website not only includes a candidate's probability of winning, but their expected total number of votes through the college and the number of safe electoral votes, or those based on states where a candidate's certain to win. Jacobson also says the results are up to the minute.
Our numbers have been changing quite a bit over the last few weeks, especially since both of the conventions have ended. And we're now seeing a shifting, for example, from the Obama camp, where they had a very strong lead, to the McCain camp, and there seem to be having some more momentum. But this, of course, can change based on the moods and whims of the populace who are being polled.
Jacobson's website also plays out what are called swing scenarios based on whether there's mild or strong trends among undecided voters. The website is at election08.cs.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
This weather is made possible with support from the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District, offering access and opportunity throughout our community. Route and schedule information available at 384-8188 or at cumtd.com.
It's 534. Mike Sola has our weather.
Well, Tom, we had another day today with abundant sunshine, a clear sky tonight, and once again, we look for just some patchy fog to develop overnight, more widely scattered than the last two previous mornings, and lows across the two-state area in the mid-40s to around 50 degrees. Chicago's urban heat island will be just a little bit warmer. And another great day tomorrow, sunshine with highs in the upper 70s to around 80 degrees. And continued dry weather right through the rest of the work week, into the weekend, and actually all the way into next week, which begins the fall season. The autumnal equinox occurs on Monday, And all that dry weather is going to see more improvement in the flooding situation, but there are still rivers in flood stage. And in fact, the Illinois River and Sangamon River continue rising above flood stage, while flooding on the Mackinac River, that's in McLean County, will begin to subside. Some of the flooding in on the Illinois River in the Peoria area down through Chillicothe will crest at near record heights up to 20. The record height is 28.8, and that was set in 1943, and the river is expected to crest at 25 feet at Peoria. 77 degrees on Friends Plaza at 535. I'm Mike Sola.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. Radovan Karadzic appeared in court in the Netherlands today. The Bosnian Serb leader is facing charges of genocide and crimes against humanity for his role in the Bosnian War in the 1990s. Judges and court officials at The Hague say they've learned a lesson from the chaotic trial of Yugoslav leader Slobodan Milosevic, as NPR's Sylvia Pajoli reports.
Karadzic appeared more self-confident than at his previous appearances.